Today's message, as I shared, I've entitled this Commanding Faith. And sometimes, the reason for sharing this every now and then on the subject of faith is that when a person becomes a brand new person in Christ, the scripture in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature or a new person, as the scriptures, new living, it says that you've become a new person. It means the old has passed away, a new has begun, a new life. You have a new nature. What does that mean? That means just like when two people are married and it says the two became one. Well, they didn't, what became one? Their spirits became one. So the minute that, just like your spirit, when you asked Jesus to come into your heart, your spirit was instantly changed, and what? You joined, in a sense, a marriage with Christ. You became joined with Christ, and the scripture says you became one spirit. So now he lives in you. And so, you know, we can't ever say, I don't know him, because now his spirit lives in me, and I do know him. Now, we have to learn to recognize his voice, but I do know him. And the same way, when a husband and wife exchange vows, and by faith they speak those vows, their spirits become one. Two separate people, one spirit now. That's why when you hear people, they say, I just get a sense that someone, you know, I need to get in touch with my wife or husband, because they're one spirit. And so we've become brand new. We're a brand new person when we accepted Christ, or he came into our lives. And because of that, the scripture says now we have a brand new position in the kingdom of God. Yes, we're the body of Christ, but the body is not in heaven. The head is in heaven. And so Jesus is physically in heaven, but guess what? He's connected to his body by his spirit. And so the body is where? In the earth to do what? Fulfill his plan and purpose here, to reach people. And that's what you read in Matthew 28 and Mark 16, the Great Commission, to go into all the world. Who's going into all the world? We are, with his love and his nature and the power of his word. And we are to go forth submitted to him and under his direction. Now, he's given us a commission, and he's given us authority. And we spent a lesson on that. And let's just turn to Ephesians chapter 1, and let's just read these verses here in verses 17 through 23. Excuse me. Starting at verse 17, I'm going to read from the King James, and whatever version you have, you can follow along. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now, verse 23, now you might say, okay, that sounds good, or I don't understand that. But when you read verse 22, he said he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Now, I like the New Living Translation. It says in verse 22, God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. Ah, that's different. So we've been given, we've been elevated to another, a different place because of this new life in Christ. If you jump down to the second chapter of Ephesians and you look, and I'll just read the first few verses, it says in the King James, and you hath he quickened, who were what? Dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That just means we were following the ways of the world. We were just operating in the flesh and yielding to sinful desires. And then verse 3, among whom we also we had our conversation in times past, and what? The lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as ours. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even, verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened who? Us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. And I'll look at verse 6. And hath raised who? Us up together and made us sit together where? In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So what does that mean? When he was buried, we were buried. It wasn't his sin. It was my sin that he took and was buried in hell. So when he was buried, I was buried because of my sin. And then this says what? When he was quickened, we were quickened together with him. And then it goes on. What does it say? When he was raised, we were raised together, what? With Christ. So what you can say is his resurrection was also my resurrection. And what happened? What made that a reality? What made that come into reality in my life? What made me a brand new creature? That resurrection life came into my spirit and changed me. It didn't happen when he was raised from the dead. Legally, it happened. But when did it actually happen? It happened when I believed. When I believed, the power of God went into operation and resurrection life came into me and changed my spirit, just like Jesus was changed. When he went to hell, his spirit became sin with my sin. And when he was changed, when sin was paid for, resurrection life hit his spirit and he was raised, and what does it say? So was I. I was raised. So his resurrection was also mine. And this goes on to say, we were raised with him and seated, what does it say? And made us sit together where? In heavenly places in Christ. Well, we're not sitting in heavenly places. We're here in the earth. But my authority is recognized in heaven. So this authority that the body has, the head's in heaven physically, but it's connected to the body. And the body is connected to the head, and the whole body is that authority is where? In heaven. And so here we have to recognize that we've been given authority and dominion here in the earth to do something. Not just go through life every day and enjoy life. That's part of it. But the primary reason is that we've been given a responsibility and something to do here in the earth. We've been changed. You ever think about that? You've been delivered from who? The power of darkness and that which exerted control over your fleshly desires. The desires may still be there, but they can't control you anymore. You have his nature now in you to say, yeah, I want to do that, but I can't. I can't do that anymore. So that desire to do something that's not right or against God's will is now controlled by his nature. He gives you the ability now to say no. Before, the devil had control over your nature and your desires, and you just yielded to it. Now what do? We yield to his nature because we want to please him. And so this authority that we've been given, I'll tell you, if you go around and you just survey and ask people, when I say survey, ask people a question, do you have authority in Christ? And a lot of people, they don't know what you're talking about. They may say, I'm a Christian, I go to church, and that's the end of the story right there. They just say, yeah, I'm a Christian, I believe in Jesus, I go to church. But they have no idea what their responsibilities are and what they've been given access to as a Christian. They don't even realize that they've been given power to use the name of Jesus. They don't even know they've been given authority to use that name. Just like in the Gospels when Jesus said he took the disciples and the 70 and gave them authority. And they went out and commanded devils and healed the sick and raised the dead. And what did Jesus say? Don't rejoice because you did that. Rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Don't rejoice that the devils respond. They're defeated. And so we have to recognize that as we go through life, we've been given authority over all of these things that press against us. This world is what? 2 Corinthians 4:4. The God of this world has done what? Blinded the minds of those that are lost. But we're not lost. We're redeemed. And so just like you could have a police officer or I'll give you another example. If you're a parent, you've been given what? Authority in the home. Say amen. You've been given authority in the home. Now, how would that be if you didn't even know you had authority? How would that be to say, well, I don't know if I'm in charge or not? That'd be a sight, wouldn't it? And there are some homes like that. They're afraid of their children. They don't even know, well, you know, I want to be friends. You're not you can be friends, but you're not there to be a friend. You're there to train up children so that they can become useful, functional parents at some point, or and follow Christ. But if you don't even know you're supposed to be in charge, what a mess is that? And that's exactly what we have now. We have the body of Christ that doesn't realize that they've been given dominion and authority in Christ to do what? Push back darkness so that light can shine in. Darkness taking hold of cities and nations and things. The body is here to reach people that are blinded. But if they're blinded by these evil forces, who's Jesus not going to? He's in heaven. He's saying, you do it. I've authorized you to do it. I've commanded you to do it. Now you do something. Brother Hagin said this one time, and it just an example. He said one time, and the number of times Jesus had appeared to him. And he said this one time Jesus had appeared to him, and as Jesus was speaking to him, he said this devil jumped in, and he said, in the middle between them and put up almost like a smoke screen. And he said he couldn't see him, but he could hear him, and it was difficult to hear him. And he's getting frustrated. And he's like, why isn't Jesus, can't he see I can't see him? Can't he see I can't hear him? Why isn't he doing anything about this? And he said it went on for a while. And he was getting annoyed. Like, why isn't he doing something? And finally, Brother Hagin said, he just said, in Jesus' name, stop. And he said that demon stopped and left. And he said, he asked Jesus. He said, Jesus, why didn't you do something? He said, because I've been given you authority, I couldn't. And Brother Hagin said, wait a minute. He said, I know you said couldn't. What do you mean? He said, I said I couldn't because I've given you authority. And so a lot of times what we you know, people use this off. They say God's sovereign. He can do whatever he wants to do. That is true. But in that situation, he gave him authority to do something about it. And so even though God had revealed himself in that way, he was expecting him to take authority over that which was interrupting it. And so a lot of times we're sitting down here going, why isn't God taking care of this? So I prayed, why isn't he doing something about this? Because he's given you authority. He's given you dominion in this earth to take control and charge over something. And this is where we sometimes need additional light and understanding that God has authorized us and given us this place of dominion and authority. Turn to Matthew 8:8. When we talk about authority and power, authority is just really delegated power, but that delegated power, we're not God, and we don't have control over God, but that delegated power has a specific purpose with limits. But Matthew 8 and 9 is the story about the centurion. And I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation. It says, but the officer said, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come into my home. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. Now listen to verse 9 in the New Living. I know this because I am under what? Authority of my superior officers. He's under authority. And he says, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say go and they go, or come and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it. So the centurion was recognizing, and this is why Jesus said, I haven't seen so great faith, no, not in all Israel. This centurion recognized that Jesus was under authority to his father. And so he said, just like I have authority, and I'm under authority to my superiors, he said, you just speak the word and it'll be done. It's the same thing for us. We are to submit ourselves unto God, or you could say submit yourselves unto the word, resist the devil, and he will flee. So we've been given dominion and authority here in the earth to confront things that we face in life. I'm going to read just something, and then you can turn over to John 15 while I'm going to read this. This is something from a little book we have. It's called The Authority of the Believer by John MacMillan. And this is just a paragraph that he wrote, which is insightful, talking about the authority of the believer. He said, the elevation of his people with him or with Christ to the heavenlies has no other meaning than that they are made sharers, potentially for the present, of the authority which is his. They are made to sit with him. That is, they share his throne. We're sharers. To share a throne means without question to partake of the authority which it represents. So we share his throne and we partake of the authority that's his. That's where the scripture says we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. So it goes on. Indeed, they have been thus elevated in the plan of God for this very purpose, that they may even now exercise to the extent of their spiritual apprehension. See, that's the key. You will never exercise your authority greater than the revelation or spiritual apprehension that you have. And it goes on that exercise authority over the powers of the air and over the conditions which those powers have brought upon the earth and are still creating through their ceaseless manipulations of the minds and circumstances of mankind. So what happens here is that we've been made and able to share of his authority. And that authority is to confront the evil powers that throw up stuff in your way, in mankind's way, to create problems. And he'll speak, you'll never be able to do that, you'll never do that. And you'll say, just watch, because God is working in me and through me, and I shall do that. I shall have that. We will take that in the name of Jesus. And that's the kind of authority. I'm not working independent of God. I'm the part of the body of Christ. But if he's given you charge or responsibility, maybe he's put you in an area, pray over your block, pray over your city, and you say, no more is there going to be darkness and corruption in my city. No more is there going to be this kind of evil and wickedness in my town or my state or my nation. It takes the body of Christ taking the authority that they share with Christ and coming against those evil powers. That's what it is. Because when we do, And I've read articles where they said, you know, you can just look at, they said, you can take a look at third world countries, Africa, that now is coming up much higher. And I don't even know, maybe you could shed more light, but I don't even know that you'd even consider that now a third world. Now, some areas still are. We had a minister with us a year or so ago, and he's Vidar Lagarde and his wife, which we, you know, support, and they're in Kenya, and they've got three or four or five schools there, but they just sent a team in again, William Menny and a number of them. They just went into Eastern Congo, and you should see what you see. They sent back pictures as they were traveling, and it is third world and below. Today, you go into Eastern Congo, and they said, here we're in this town. You figure town, you know, we have a perspective of what a town is. You go there, and they were mud huts with thatched roofs. This is in 2021. Dirt roads. So I'm not saying that disparagingly, but I'm saying where the gospel, this is what it's proven, where the gospel has gone into areas, it has pushed back darkness, and the lives of the people have been elevated. Right? And so this is what we're saying, that darkness blinds people to the love of God. Darkness blinds people to the goodness of God and the mercy of God. So this is why when the body of Christ begins to go in an area and take the light that they have and begin to push back darkness, people begin to see the light. They begin to see, what the heck have I been walking in a cloud? Oh, God is good. And they begin to change. They become more prosperous. They become more peaceful. They become more loving. And less war, less evil. And that's the same thing. You see stuff going on in our country. This not, you know, forget about politics. Just look at the evil in this country that wants to push in and do stuff that's not godly. Well, you don't just sit back and go, gee, isn't that too bad? Or, no, we're supposed to pray and intercede and take the name of Jesus and speak to it and say, no, you're not going to be in this country. We command and bind it and forbid it in the name of Jesus. I'll tell you, if you were a police officer, you wouldn't go, oh, would you mind going over there? You know, you say, no, move over here. If you're an authority, you give what? Commands. Doesn't have to be rude, but you give a directive. This is the way it's going. You are there to do what? Exercise authority to, and I'm talking about in the natural now, to make sure the laws are followed. And it's no different with God. God has defeated the devil, and he's put us down here to exercise his authority so that his will is done in the earth. Not let the devil have his way. He's defeated. Glory to God. So, what did I tell you? Go over to John 15. Let's take a minute here and look at this. John 15, starting in verse 1, it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Or you could say the gardener. It says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth what? More fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Think about this. Who's me speaking? Jesus is speaking. So when it says, without me, you could insert there, without the word, you can do nothing. Without God's word, you can do nothing. Verse 6, if a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7, I love verse 7. This is wonderful. It says, if ye abide in me, right? If you abide in me. And what? And my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be what? Done unto you. Now, I took the time here to just look up a few words here in this verse 7. It says, if you abide in me. Now, when it abides, that means you're taking up residence. You're abiding. But the word, when it says my words, that is not, oh, I memorized that and I have that down pat and I'll just say it. Words, that Greek word is rhema. So what this is saying is, as you let the word of God, faith cometh, Romans 10, 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Psalm 119, 130. The entrance of his word giveth light. It giveth revelation. So this is saying here that when my words, my revelation, that which you see in the word, not what you've memorized, when that revelation is in your heart, it says, when it abides in you, it says, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Well, let's back up, because we can look at a few scriptures. When we talk about Mark 11, 22, 23, 24, when we talk about faith, faith is something you believe. 2 Corinthians 4, 13, we have believed and therefore speak. Therefore, I believe and therefore speak. So what you believe, you will speak and say. If you have faith, the God kind of faith, you're not going to ask for something that's totally against his will. James 4, 4, you have not because you ask not, and you have not because what? You ask amiss. Well, you're not asking, it says, because you're consuming it upon your own lusts. So here, when we have revelation in God's word, we're going to speak something. And so what is this word here? This word ask, ye shall ask. This word ask in the Greek means to demand or require. So what does that mean? I'm not demanding God of something. He's the one that promised it. But what you're doing is, by faith, you're speaking that which you believe. I'll tell you, if you believe something that you are due, you don't go, gee, I wish I could get that. No, you say, no, this is due me, I want it. Now, you're not being rude, because that's what this also says. Rick Renner points this out. He says that in the New Testament, this particular word ask is used to portray a person addressing a superior. The person may insist or demand that a certain need be met, but he approaches and speaks to his superior with respect and honor. So you're approaching God with honor and respect, but you're putting your faith demand and you're asking, you're putting that out. What did Abraham do? He did the same thing when he was about ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. So this here, if you abide in me and my revelation abides in you, my words abide in you, you shall ask or require, demand of me, and it shall be done. What is the Bible students here? What does Mark 11:24 say? What things soever ye desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you might have them. It says you shall have them. So here, same thing. We're looking at faith. You're saying, if I abide in him and his words abide in me, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done. Glory to God. Here's another verse. Turn over to Philippians 4:6. Philippians 4:6. Just verse 6. Familiar scripture verse. And it I'll share this with you here. And I'm going to read from the King James. It says, be careful for nothing. Or some scripture, some say, be anxious for nothing. I think the message says, don't even worry about one thing. It says here in the King James, be careful for nothing. But in what? Everything, by prayer and supplications, with thanksgiving, let your what? Requests be made known unto God. Okay? Guess what Greek word that word requests is? It's the same Greek word that's used when we just got done reading in John 15, verse 7, when it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask. That's the same Greek word as let your requests be made known unto God. So a lot of times people are saying, oh God, I've got this problem. I'm giving you my request, and I just hope you answer it. This says here, let your faith demand or faith-filled request be made known. Let me read it from the Passion Translation. This is verse 6 in Philippians 4. Don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering your faith-filled requests before God with overflowing gratitude. Tell him every detail of your life. So without faith, Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh unto God, what? Must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So when I approach God, and I give him my request, my faith-filled request, it has to be expected that God is going to hear it and answer it. John, 1 John 5:14 and 15. You'll look at that scripture verse. It says, and this is what? This is the confidence that I have in him, that if I ask anything according to his will, he hears me. And if I know that he hears me, whatsoever I ask, then I know I have the petitions that I've desired of him. So I have to come in confidence that this is something God will answer. And we've been given this position to operate in the earth. Now let's look at one last scripture. Matthew 16 and verse 19. And of course, in context, this is Jesus speaking to Peter, and he says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But he goes on in verse 19, and it says, I will give unto thee, talking to Peter here, Jesus is, he said, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be what? Bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now let me read this from the other translations. Sometimes the King James, you know, you need to sometimes either look those words up or read it in a more modern translation. The Passion Translation, it says this, I will give you the keys of heaven's kingdom realm. And the footnote for this word keys in the Passion Translation, the keys are symbols of authority and power. So when he says, I will give you the keys of heaven, of heaven's kingdom realm, Jesus was saying to Peter, I'm giving you authority and power. I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. I'm giving you authority and power. And he goes here, I'm giving you the keys of heaven's kingdom realm to forbid on earth that which is forbidden in heaven, and to release on earth that which is released in heaven. So this word keys means the power to open and shut. That means there are some things that, yes, we have the Spirit of God in us to direct us and guide us in life, but you don't have to ask God whether it's okay to bind the devil. He's already bound. So in certain areas of in where you live or your job, you do what? You walk in authority and take authority over things that hinder the gospel and hinder people seeing and experiencing the goodness of God. I remember one time, this is many years ago, probably close to 40 years ago, maybe a little more than 40, I was a young Christian, and I went to visit with this older couple, and while I was there, I was just sharing the gospel with them. And they were getting a little antsy. And the husband said, can we change the subject? I said, sure. We can talk about something else. No problem. I wasn't going to be there and just be rude, but I thought, okay, I'll share the gospel with them. They didn't really want to hear it at that point. Can we change the subject? Sure. And then I had an opportunity to go visit with them 2 or 3 weeks after that. But what was I doing in that 2 or 3 weeks? I knew I was going back again. So I was taking authority over the spirits that were blinding them to the gospel. And I said, Satan, you will not bind them and blind them anymore. I forbid you and I command you to cease in the name of Jesus. Guess what happened when I went back a couple weeks later? I got not one resistance. They just sat and said, tell me more. Tell me more. Tell me more. And they both accepted Christ at that point. And then a little bit after, they got filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke with other tongues. So sometimes when we run into resistance, don't just throw it off and go, hey, I don't want to hear it and leave it alone. No, take authority over the spirits that are blinding them to the goodness of God. Think about it from God's perspective. He died for them that they would come to know him and experience his peace and his goodness and his salvation. And we should have that same kind of thinking. That when you run into people that don't want to hear it, don't go, they don't want to hear it. No, they're just being blinded to the truth, and they don't want to hear it because the devil's making them uncomfortable. Well, take authority over that spirit that is making them uncomfortable so they will listen and then make a quality decision. But right now, they probably can't. Everybody understand? So we've been given authority and dominion in this earth, and we've been made to share. We've been raised together and seated with him together in Christ in heavenly places, and we have been made to share the authority that God gave Jesus. He said, we'll close with this. He said, what did he say? He said that he made us sit together in heavenly places, and he gave this authority to Jesus. He said, he hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. So God has given us his name. He's given us the blood of Jesus. He's given us his word to exercise authority. His authority is breathed into the name. His name and him and his authority are one. His word and his authority are one. So when we speak the word, when we speak the name, when we plead the blood of Jesus, all hell recognizes it. Because it said, every name that's named will what? Bow the knee. Glory to God. Amen. Praise God. I hope you got a little something out of this. Just meditate on it, feed upon it, and go back and listen to these messages if you can on the website. They'll be posted by the middle of the week, and it'll do you good. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is life and power to us. It is peace to us. And we thank you that there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved, and there's no other name whereby they have authority but the name of Jesus. And we thank you that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And Father, we thank you this day, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen. The more you meditate upon this and the more you listen to the word of God, it will begin to change you and change your thinking, that you come from a place of victory, not a place of defeat. You are the victor. Why? Because Jesus got the victory. Amen. Well, before we dismiss, let me just make this request that if anybody is here today, we always do this just as a matter of profession of faith, that Jesus has extended salvation to all mankind. And so we always give that opportunity to either ask Jesus into your heart for the first time, or you ask him to forgive you if there's things in your life you need to ask him for forgiveness for, and you get that straightened out. But let's make this profession of faith. Father God, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, and you sent him here to this earth in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. I believe that, as the scripture says, that Jesus is the Christ and that he was raised from the dead. I believe that, and I say that with my mouth. I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart. I ask you to make something new of me. Fill me with your spirit. And I believe, according to your word, that I am saved. And Father, for those things, for those that know you, I believe that you are the God who cleanses unrighteousness. So if we've done things in our life that are not pleasing, if we've not walked in the love of God to the degree that we should, then we ask you to forgive us and cleanse us of unrighteousness. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.